This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Evangelist Billy Graham died this morning at his home in Montreat, North Carolina. He was 99 years old. Billy Graham was known to many as America's pastor, and it's estimated that his sermons reached more than 2 billion people. WNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry is reporting on Billy Graham's death and joins me now. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, Frank.
Give us the overview, the kind of legacy that Billy Graham leaves in this country.
This is one of, if not the most influential North Carolinian ever. This is an incredibly important religious figure. And as you mentioned, America's pastor, the pastor of presidents, somebody who is well known for having the ear of presidents from Truman to Obama, 12 straight presidents. And we should note that the current president, President Trump, was at Billy Graham's 95th birthday outside of Asheville 4 years ago. So this is somebody who has long been a religious figure, a political player. I think that, you know, two important things to note are the timing of his ascendance. I mean, it happened with television, right? I mean, he started these crusades in the late 40s, early 50s, and then with the proliferation of television, as someone who was, I think, almost undeniably a great public speaker. I mean, he captivated an audience. He had a presence, however you may feel about him. And that allowed this message to expand and go around the world. He also did this at a time that was, a time of the Cold War in our country. He espoused a message of anti-communism, and that resonated with a lot of people.
Well, let's listen to a clip of Billy Graham speaking in 1958.
And if Jesus Christ had to pray all night, what about us in 1958 with our race problem, with our problem of communism, with the problem of crime that is getting worse with every passing day, with all the social problems that we face in the world and the personal problems and the problem of sin? We Americans are not praying. We're not calling upon God.
He tapped, that's the Reverend Billy Graham speaking at a crusade in the Charlotte Coliseum in 1958, talking to Jeff DeBerry from WNC. Talk about the nature of his influence and what it was he tapped into that created such an audience for him, and therefore politicians really couldn't afford to ignore him.
Well, I think that, as I mentioned, some of it was communism, and he talked about a counterfeit religion, which is what he said communism was, and it was established by Satan. And this really, I mean, from a grassroots perspective and also from the top down, from the bottom up, people paid attention to Billy Graham. And, you know, that led him to, you know, Eisenhower and Kennedy and presidents that came from different sides of the aisle and came from different vantage points. They called on Billy Graham at various times. Of moral question at various times in our in the second half of the 20th century. Of course, he wasn't without controversy. He was a paradox in many ways. There, you know, perhaps one of the most obvious examples were tapes that emerged in 2003 that came out of the Nixon White House, in which Graham offered some or said was caught on tape saying some anti-Semitic things. He said whatever it was 30 years later that he didn't remember doing them. But that's part of the legacy. I think it has to be part of the legacy if we're thinking about a balanced look back.
Very close to Richard Nixon as well, and very supportive throughout the entire Watergate ordeal. Couldn't believe that he was guilty of those things. Very supportive. At one point, gets on the phone, these tapes, and you can hear Billy Graham telling Richard Nixon that when he heard the commentators after a speech that Nixon had given, Billy Graham said, quote, I wanted to slash their throats, said the minister. So a controversial figure who stuck with Nixon to the end. He has softened somewhat, lamented some of those, made apologies for his anti-Semitic remarks that he was caught.
Sure, and also said later on in life, I think in his mid-80s, that he wished he had done more to help civil rights, to battle for civil rights, said that he wished he had gone to Selma. He was a religious figure, and he also was a political figure in some ways, of course. Mentioned, the 95th birthday party, Donald Trump and Sarah Palin were there. And, you know, in doing reporting on Billy Graham and stories about him, there were historians and professors who said that as the times changed, as we've become a more partisan people, he too, to some extent, has. Now, one of the great questions that I think will linger and we may never get an answer to is, you know, whether that shift, whether his support of the proposed ban on same-sex marriage here in North Carolina in 2012, whether moments like that were his transformation or whether it was the influence of his son Franklin, who in later years has run the philanthropic organization, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the Samaritan's Purse. And that organization has certainly taken much more of a neoconservative slant than the Billy Graham of the 70s and 80s.
WUNC's Jeff DeBerry. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.